Welcome to Cycling Fashion Week, the world's only cycling podcast entirely dedicated to the superficial approach when it comes to cycling, which is basically looking only at looks, aesthetics, kits, and looking good on the bike. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony and Warren. Guys, how's it going this week?
It's going well. It's an exciting week for cycling. It is World Championship Week. Or part therein of, and we had a great time trial, and you know, Italy took the time trial, which is always a favorite for us.
One thing I noticed about the time trial this week, which I thought was really great from a cycling fashion point of view, because whatever, I don't really care about the watts that Ghana pushed during that time trial, but one thing I definitely noticed was that he was running tan sidewall on his TT bike, which, first of all, big win for the tan sidewall team, which I'm definitely a part of. I run tan sidewall on all my bikes. But the one thing that worries me a little bit, though, I have to say, is that if you're starting to see tan sidewall on TT and triathlon bikes, it might mean that we are either at or a little bit past peak tan sidewall, which it might be an issue for me, given that I'm very long tan sidewall in my bicycle portfolio at the moment.
It's not going to change anything for me. Tan sidewall is the way to go. I was out on I'll admit it was a cyclocross practice ride today. I apologize to everyone, but we were there and I was the only one with tan sidewalls. Everyone else had all black and it looked terrible and it was really upsetting.
I thought tan sidewall was mandatory for cyclocross at this point.
I should be.
It's true. You know, I've got a race coming up, a cyclocross race. Also apologize. I apologize to our listeners for that. But yeah, and I do not have tan sidewall tires on my cross bike, and I'm worried I'm going to get to the line and the OCA, which is the Ontario Cycling Association, the regulatory body. I'm worried they're going to, you know, in the same way they measure your tires for width, they're going to look and I'm going to be DNF, you know?
So anyway, memo to our listeners, if you're not running tan sidewall on your bikes, toss whatever tires you have into the canal, go to the shop and, you know, get your hands on whatever tan sidewall you can get your hands on at the moment, which frankly is probably not very much given the supply situation in the bike market. Okay, so getting into our segment about new releases and new products that have just come out, the first item that we're going to talk about, it dropped this week. It's a Rafa Pock helmet collaboration, which is a new Rafa-inspired version of the Pock Ventral Airspin helmet that just came out this week. So essentially a Pock helmet with a bit of a Rafa branding or marketing. We'll put a pic on our Instagram. If you haven't seen it already, go follow us at Cycling Fashion Week so you can take a look at it while listening to the podcast. Guys, what did we think of this Rafa Pock collaboration?
I mean, I think you mentioned the Ventral Air. They've also done it with the Omni Air, which is sort of their entry-level price point helmet, which I know we're not, you know, I like spending money. But in this case, I'm sort of happy that they've kept it at the same price point. They didn't jack it up for a little bit of a paint scheme. Overall, it's pretty boring. But I guess it feels a lot like it's just sort of a reactionary thing to Pad Normal Sweet Protections collaboration that's been going on for a while, and Rafa sort of feeling the push of the Prom King Pad Normal and realizing they got to start sort of getting into different streams.
I think for me, I mean, you know, I think Pock has that reputation as a bit of a mushroom head, which I think on at least Omni Air less so. You know, the mushroom head, it doesn't look good on most people, but there are a few people who maybe it's just the shape of their face or their head, they can pull it off. And the colorways in this collection, to me, actually make the helmets kind of less unique. I almost feel like they're aping Pad Normal a little bit. And just, I don't know, it just looks like a Pock helmet with a Rafa logo and like a slightly different color at the back. I don't know. Yeah, it's a solid meh. And one thing I did notice is they offer both helmets in a wide fit, which I find very interesting for a company that already makes your head look like a mushroom, that they would offer an even wider fit.
Yeah, so look, I think it's good that they've done it on one of their less mushroomy helmets. A little bit of shame to admit this, but I'm a former owner of one of the more mushroomy POC helmets. So, I mean, this is a little bit personal for me. I've since moved on from the mushroomy POC helmet. I should mention that to our listeners. But yeah, I don't think they're terrible looking. I think they're okay. But again, I don't really know what's super special about that release. I don't think I would be keen on just, you know, getting one right away. You know, when you guys criticize them for copying Panormal, though, I mean, who isn't copying Panormal at this stage, right? There's entire brands that are clones of Panormal at this stage. You could argue that Universal Colors out of the UK, which I think they make nice stuff, but it was kind of based on copying Panormal from the start. So not sure that that criticism is super valid.
I'm not criticizing them for copying Panormal, but it's sort of, it's more than just that it's sad to see Rafa, who was once at the forefront of, you know, the sort of cycling fashion, is now needing to sort of catch up by copying and unfortunately seemingly doing sort of a poor job. I don't know if it's just a personal taste, but my personal taste is also law. So, you know, the colors I just don't like. Like I actually have this helmet in black. I don't wear it very often because it's, yeah, the mushroominess, you know, cask Italy made is really the only way for me. But, you know, if I were to sort of say, okay, I like this helmet, these colors aren't doing much for me. They're not sort of that exciting. And I, you know, I think that what Panormal did with Sweet Protection is a lot, you know, it has a lot sort of, you know, adds a lot more to that collaboration. This one is pretty lazy, pretty haphazard. And so I wish I had a little more kick into complaining or liking, but it's just so kind of nothingness that if it didn't come up in, you know, 900 posts on my Instagram feed, I think I would have just washed over it.
I mean, at least the model has a neck tattoo that shows their grittiness, right? You know?
Yeah, well, they don't want to be accused of, being in the Cervelo camp with dentists, 40-year-old dentists and stuff. They need to show that they're edgy. They're just as cool as Panormal.
All right. So the next release that we're going to talk about is something that came out from the brand called Isidore. They make cycling apparel. So it was actually sent to me by Tony. I've never owned anything by that brand. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't really followed what they've been doing in the cycling apparel space there. But they released a 3/4 sleeve jersey. Again, we'll put the picture on our Instagram account. And they're also, looking at their website, it seems like they also make a 3/4 bib as well, which is an interesting proposition that I think most of us would probably not agree with. If you listen to last week's episode, our special guest Lily threw knee warmers into the canal, essentially arguing that there is no real need for knee warmers except in a range of maybe 3 degrees. I think, you know, 3/4 bibs fit kind of in the same category there. But yeah, 3/4 jersey, which is interesting. I've never seen that in cycling. What did you guys think?
I mean, I know that I jumped back into the canal to swim after the knee warmers last week, so this may seem a little hypocritical, but this is entirely unneeded. The jersey itself, I actually don't mind the design, but the 3/4 sleeve just ruins the whole thing. I can't imagine at what point I would ever feel the need to wear this, at what weather point I would ever want it. So it's completely useless.
So Tony, in all fairness to the brand, like if you look at how they're marketing this, they're saying that with the 3/4 length sleeve, it's a merino jersey, by the way, which I like personally, but they're saying that with the 3/4 length sleeve, they're marketing this as a gravel thing again. So I could have totally forecasted that. I mean, who other than gravel cyclists would wear a 3/4 length sleeve? But they're basically saying, look, fall is coming. It's getting a little cooler, but it's not quite cold yet. You know, you're wearing merino, so it's a little chilly out, but you're kind of pushing big watts, riding gravel, so you're hot. So the three-quarter sleeve is where it's at, and it's an understated look and classy fit, but it's kind of gravel casual at the same time. That's how they're marketing it. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's in fairness to them, that's how they're marketing it.
Of all the spots on my upper body that gets warm, my wrists are never overheating.
For me, the design is nice, but it kind of just looks like a Rafa jersey, to be honest. It's got the kind of two horizontal lines across the chest, and then more of the classic Rafa look. So actually, I can't really fault them for copying that too much. But the sleeves, it reminds me of, I believe they're called Raglan sleeves that you find on like baseball shirts or shirts that people wear to play softball. And I don't mean professional softball, if such a thing exists. I'm not sure who would pay anyone to play softball, but like beer league softball, so it looks like the sleeves look like softball jersey to me. I don't know. Maybe that's there's a crossover in the demographic of beer league softball and gravel cyclists.
There's definitely a huge crossover between that. Fun guy having fun, sports for fun. The gravel beer league softball guy who's out there, you know, they want to drink while they're doing the sport. You know, instead of a nice glass of wine afterwards, after they've gone up a beautiful coal or something like that, they want to drink while they're doing it. You know, they're stopping for on their brewery tours and stuff like that. So gravel jersey and beer league softball guy are a total Venn diagram crossover market. And maybe we're chirping it because that's not me. I wouldn't drink a craft beer if it was the only thing in the fridge, but maybe for gravel guy, he's thinking this is perfect because I can take this. I can continue my style from my Tuesday night beer league and get right onto my gravel thing as I do my craft brewery tour around the area.
So as someone who's played a lot of baseball in my youth, I'm pretty familiar with three-quarter sleeves. I've worn them a lot playing baseball. And one thing I always noticed was that they're annoying as hell. I'd always just roll them up to my elbow. I don't know. I just find it super annoying. And I own a shirt of a specific football team that I support that is three-quarters. And I do the same thing. I just roll up the sleeves all the time. I personally could not see myself wearing that on a ride. I think it would drive me absolutely nuts. I would keep rolling them up. So for me, it's either short sleeves, long sleeves, arm warmers, but the in-between zone that they're trying to market, I think for me, it's a no.
Are they maybe they're setting the stage to launch a new product, wrist warmers? Because like you don't want to wear arm warmers under a three-quarter length jersey, but you know, if it gets cold out and you want a long sleeve and you got this stupid three-quarter sleeve jersey around, oh, look, Isidore sells wrist warmers to match. You know what I mean? Like I
think that's genius. I think that they're, you know, there's cyclists are always looking to buy a new product. And, if you're the only one making something, then maybe it seems unique or cool. I think that's a really smart idea. And, I'm definitely going to make sure to keep following Isidore Apparel on Instagram to see if they drop wrist warmers.
Well, you do like knee warmers. So,
I mean, that said, I think the jersey looks good. I think the colors that they've chosen look good. It's pretty classic. I like that it's merino. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the three quarters for me is completely not appealing.
So I think we're going to agree that the sleeves are dumb, but the marketing strategy to sell more and drive our consumerist urges is good.
Yes, and it will forever work. Okay, so our last new product that we're going to talk about real quick is the BMC Road Machine X bike that Swiss brand BMC just launched this week. I think this is marketed as an all-road / endurance bike for longer rides. We'll put a picture on our Instagram. Again, it's this sort of aqua dark green color. It's got a 1x SRAM drivetrain, which I'm sure will elicit interesting reactions here. But guys, what did we think about that?
This bike looks like every bike that's been released in the last 5 years, so I'm not going to make a comment or review it. It's a waste of time.
Okay, so we're introducing a new segment on this week's show. It's called We Rate Hub Sounds. where does that segment come from? Well, when we're considering wheels here at Cycling Fashion Week, you know, a lot of people think about how it does in the wind tunnel, aerodynamics, rolling resistance, power transfer, stiffness. We don't really care about any of that here at Cycling Fashion Week. We generally care about two things. The number one is, how good does the wheel look on your bike? Are the rims, you know, do they look good? Do they look sick? Or do they improve the look of your bike? That's the first element. And the second element that we consider, which is also very important, is the sound that the hubs make when you're just freewheeling or going down a hill or something like that. If it's not very loud, we tend not to like that too much. So what we're going to do on the show, it'll be a recurring segment, is we're going to play some hub sounds and we'll analyze them. We'll review them and just, you know, give you our views on how they sound. So today we're going to introduce three hub sounds. There's obviously way too many on the market. We can do them all in this episode, but we're going to take a look at three of them. And Warren, you've chosen them for this week.
I have. Yeah. So the first we're going to listen to are hunt wheels. And I believe the hubs are actually Novatex. They are branded as Hunt, but my internet research and cycling forum creeping suggests they are just Novatek hubs. But we thought we should look at them because Hunt wheels are, they're kind of like the Panormal of wheels right now. It's like everybody has them. And, you know, and I think it's because they're pretty clean. They're very affordable. I actually respect the people who buy Hunts rather than light bicycle carbon wheels, which are essentially the same wheels, but Hunts are more expensive and the branding's better. So two things working in favor of having Hunt wheels. But
Warren, one thing I did want to ask you is that was going to be my question. Like, people like Hunts because they look good, but they're a little bit cheaper than the top brands like either Zip or Envy or something like that.
Oh, they're bargain bin compared to like Envy.
Okay, so full disclosure as well, I'm a little bit conflicted here. I don't own Hunts, but for a bike build that I'm actually in the process of doing right now, I recently purchased secondhand Novatek rims with Novatek hubs. So I have a little bit of skin in the game here as I own Novatek.
Conflict hubs of interest.
Yes, I just wanted to disclose that to our listeners because, you know, we're pretty transparent here at Cycling Fashion Week. We disclose all the conflict of interest. We manage them. But yes, I just wanted to say that. And I've been familiar with the sound here. So why don't we play the clip and we'll review them.
Sure. I did want to say one thing before we get into this. If any of the brands we are rating here today would like to sponsor us, we will absolutely accept free hubs to better test the sound in person. So email us at cyclingfashionweek@gmail.com and we will gladly take your free hubs. Let's take a listen to the Hunts.
Okay, guys, so what did we think about those Hunts and the Novatek hubs?
I'm going to give it 6 out of 10. It was pretty bland. I didn't get it was definitely a lower tone. I need a higher pitch. I need a bit more sort of, I want a bit of scream in it, right? Like I live at the bottom of a hill, kind of in a popular cycling area, and I like to hear the bikes coming down like it's meatloaf bat out of hell. So this was pretty underwhelming. I'm gonna give it a 6.
So there's a couple of things here. I find that I agree with you. They're not the loudest, and they're also not the highest pitch, which I think you want in a wheel. However, I do find it has a good sharpness, the free hub sound. And honestly, for the price, like when you consider the ratio of price to sound, or rather the ratio of sound to price, I want that ratio as high as possible. I find that the Novatek hubs, they rank pretty high up there. I find 6 out of 10 is a little harsh. I'd be closer to a 7.5 maybe.
For me, the fact that my ears don't hurt after listening to them, I'm giving it like a 4.5. Like I agree with Tony. Oh. It's just flat. It's not bothering my ears at all. Yeah. Nah.
See, I mean, 4.5 does seem low. Like I had a pair of Mavic Cosmic aluminum wheels that I would have given it like a sort of a 4.5 out of type of situation because they really had barely a sound. So this still in my sort of rankings compared to my sort of real lower end, I'm still giving this a 6. I'm not impressed. I'm not in love with it, but if I had it, I wouldn't be so upset. So I think 6, but 4.5, you're coming in hard. I'm going to expect a lot. You know, it's going to have to be a really crisp hub sound for you to get up to those higher echelon numbers.
Okay, so let's move on to our next hub sound that we're going to rate. Warren, what's the next one?
The next one, we have hubs on a DT Swiss Hubs 240 EXP. They are on a Specialized bike, and I actually am not 100% sure the wheels. They're probably could be Roval, but they could also be DT Swiss wheels. But yeah, let's... Now, I have to disclose something. I have some DT Swiss 360 on my carbon wheels. So, but they are not, I don't think they're in this realm of hub sound performance, but...
But wait, they don't make as much noise as the ones we're rating?
No, I don't think so. I mean, mine are noisy, but so why'd they're you not... Buy them? I don't have a good answer. I should probably go get... If these 240s are good, maybe I should just
go get them relaced. Go get the wheels rebuilt. Put it on. Let's see what these 240s sound like, and then maybe we can make a judgment call. I mean, maybe you need to. Maybe it's worth waiting, and then after we've gone through a few versions of this segment, you'll really know where you should put your money as far as the sound. So
yeah.
All right. So let's just listen to it first, and we'll give our call after. So that's actually a really low pitch here.
Seems a lot louder, though. I mean,
it sounds like an air raid.
Yeah, I like it.
There's an electric guitar element to that one. Like maybe the Novatec are acoustic, and this one is electric. But it's got a bit of a lower pitch. I find it's very profound, very. Very strong, but a little bit lower pitch.
It really stuck with me. Like it felt like I felt it in my bones a little bit. Like this one's an 8. This is an 8 for sure. Like I really like that. That sound and just the kind of you're right. It was sort of like it was almost like an electric guitar on reverb or something. Like it really. I sort of felt it in its bones. It was good.
You know, like when you're driving in your car next to someone who's playing 1990s dance music and they're just putting the bass sound really loud. Like this one has a strong bass, I would say. I respect it. It's not what I look for in a wheel, though. I probably wouldn't buy that myself, but, you know, I respect it.
I'd be happy with it. I'd be happy if I was riding in a group with it.
If I played this for my dad or... rode a bike with these hubs on around him. My dad was in the US Army and he did a couple tours. I think it would trigger like some PTSD flashbacks, which to me is a good thing. It's like a buzzsaw of something's coming for you. It's impending. I'm into it. I would give this, I'd give it an 8 too. Like it's just like, it's terrifying.
It's almost like a warning telling you that there's a really bad bike handler going downhill behind you and like, watch out. That's kind of what it tells me.
Yeah, it's me.
All right. So we're going to listen to our last hub this week. And honestly, it's last but not least. Warren, which one did we save for the end?
I mean, we had to do a Chris King hub on an NV wheel, like in our first part of We Rate Hub Sounds, because I mean, it's the one everybody's always talking about it. You see Chris King hubs and headsets on like all of the fancy bike builds at the bike shows. They got nice colors. They pop. I have absolutely no idea how they perform in real world. I've actually, my mechanic has told me they're kind of shit performance wise, but they look amazing.
So again, full disclosure here, on one of my other bikes that I own a set of Envy wheels, but it's not with the Chris King hubs, it's with the Envy hubs. So I own the Envy Foundation 45 wheels, which is Envy's sort of entry level range of wheels. It feels kind of funny to say that. It's almost like saying, Patek Philippe entry level watches. But yes, I have some skin in the game here as well, since these are Envy wheels and I really like Envy wheels, but I just wanted to disclose that.
There's one guy in France who's going to understand that watch brand reference, I think, but.
Oh no. Watch guys will know it. It's Drake has a couple.
We'll talk about watches on another program, because they've been pretty big in cycling recently, with the likes of Julien Alaphilippe wearing expensive watches. All right, so let's listen to the hubs.
Oh, baby, there we go.
Like killer bees.
This is the gold standard.
This is a 10. It starts at a lower pitch. Like, it's not even consistent. It really is a symphony. Like, it starts lower and kind of gives you this thing as the momentum builds up and then sort of screeches. It's a bit of a sort of crescendo effect. And then kind of goes, it's low and then sort of goes up to this high pitch sound. And you can just sort of feel it. You can feel it in the group ride. You can feel it on the road. This is a 10. This is what every hub manufacturer should be striving towards, is the Chris King buzz.
And what it makes me think of is like when you're drinking a really expensive red wine, could be Bordeaux, could be a Super Tuscan. You take a sip, you swallow your sip of wine, and the complexity and the taste of the wine stays in your mouth for 30 seconds after you've swallowed that sip. And the Chris King hubs, they're like that. They just have length, they have duration. The momentum builds, as Tony said. It doesn't just end like that. There's an echo almost to the hub sound. Look, Chris King really is, to me, the gold standard in terms of hub sound. It is probably the greatest. I don't know if there is such a thing as perfection. So I don't know if I would give it a 10, but we're certainly not far from that.
So if you're not going to give it a 10, can we get a 9.8 from you?
Sure. I'm willing to get asymptotically close to 10. I just don't know if 10 exists in this world.
I'm going to pull a Spinal Tap. This one goes to 11. Like, as Tony said, it's the hub sound that all hub makers should aspire to. It's like, it's the bees chasing you. It's a plane running down in that Hitchcock movie, running people down a field.
Is that North by Northeast
or Northwest? One of those. Yeah.
North by Northwest. One of the directions. Oh, we're going to get film nerds writing in talking about how we're idiots.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, I just think it's the gold standard, and stick it to my veins, like, and to my bike. I forget the DT Swiss 240s. I think I have to rebuild my wheels with some Chris King hubs just to alert people that I'm coming down behind them and my brakes are out.
Okay, so our next segment, Into the Canal, where we toss something really bad from the world of cycling fashion into the canal. I'm going to start with this one because mine is really quick this week. So I went on a ride last weekend in the Eastern Townships, beautiful region in southern Quebec. It borders Vermont, and this time is probably the greatest time of year to be riding there because the colors are starting to appear in the trees. So very beautiful time of the year. It gets a little chilly, though, and one thing I did notice is some riders out there that I saw on my ride were wearing short sleeves with leg warmers. I am going to toss that look into the canal. I think that you can wear short bibs with arm warmers. I think that that's actually a great look. It's very pro overall. But if you're wearing short sleeves with leg warmers, you have to toss yourself into the canal. Cycling is not about showing off your arms. If you've got big biceps, you also need to go into the canal. Cycling is about showing off the muscles on your legs and your calves. And for that reason, the short sleeves and long bibs combo is just wrong, and you should not wear that. So that's my canal item for this week.
I'm in with you. Toss to the canal. I hate specifically that. To me, it is lazy. You've probably gone out with your arm warmers and your leg warmers. You're cool in the morning. You start to heat up. The first thing you take off is the leg warmers once you start to feel a little bit warmer, once your body heat temperature starts to rise. And so that's me showing that someone is not taking the time to stop their bike or does not have the skill to remove them while riding, which I think is an important thing. Everybody should stop focusing on their power numbers and start thinking about practicing that skill. So I'm with you in the canal. It's lazy fashion. It looks bad. There's all sorts of negativity involved.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. It's a terrible look. At best, you look like a triathlete, but you just look like you don't know what you're doing.
Warren, what are you throwing into the canal this week?
So as a group, and maybe myself, we often kind of throw gravel cycling related things into the canal or look down on them. But, and this one kind of relates to that, is I'm going to take top tube feed bags and throw them in the canal for a couple of reasons. And lest, we get some emails from some gravel cyclists saying, let me on and talk about how cool gravel cycling is. No, that's not happening. And two, top tube feed bags are like, I don't understand the point of them. I think they're useless. They do look stupid because they add like a little bulk to your bike. So it takes away the sleekness of your bike's look. But I would honestly like somebody to try to explain to me how it's easier to use than something in your jersey pocket. To reach into your jersey, reach your hand behind you, grab something, slide it out. Top tube bag, you gotta like unzip it. You gotta kind of look down and pull something out, which also makes you look bad because you're taking away any elegance in your cycling movements by like kind of looking downwards. You're looking like looking at a creek on your bike or something. It's all wrong. It's makes your bike look bad. It will take away any style you might have had pedaling your bike because you'll just look like you're fiddling with shit. Cargo shorts would be better than a top tube feed bag if you want to carry more stuff. That's saying something. So they're in the canal and hopefully I don't think they'll ever come out.
I tried bike packing once and it was one too many times. So any of this kind of bike packing bags on bikes that isn't your Velo Color or Albion saddle sort of saddlebag to put in your necessities or tools, I'm gonna be tossing the canal the minute I hear someone bring anything up like that. So with you big time on this one, Warren.
Can you elaborate a bit on your bike packing experience?
Well, it's not quite as fun as biking, and it's not quite as fun as camping. So it's sort of the worst of both worlds. You're heavy and slow on your bike, and then you're relatively limited even with a lot of gear on and what you can sort of bring to the campsite. So it's never, none of it's very enjoyable. I think that maybe a sort of a luxury tour of Tuscany or Girona or something like that where I'm staying in hotels, if you call that bike packing, then yeah, I'd be into it. But Ontario bike camping, trailer park bike camping, it's bad. That goes into the canal, the whole fucking thing.
Totally agree. I want someone schlepping my stuff in a luxury European vehicle on the highway while I'm riding. I have no interest in bike packing.
So mine, I'm worried people, I think the argument against this happens a lot, but I think it might be more for some sort of durability, maintenance, performance thing. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. It's cross-chaining. There may be something that, messes up your chain or your cassette when you do it, but I have no idea and then I'm not looking into it. But it looks terrible. The little ring is definitely something that it's needed. You got some, when you're going up Camilleaud, you got some big hills, you got to put some, you guys try and get your cadence up there so it's needed. But in general, your bike looks bigger in the big ring. I want your bike in the big ring as much as possible. So when I'm riding with someone and I see them on the flat and they're trying to get into a higher gear and they've just cross-changed from the 11 at the back to the little ring at the front. It just looks horrendous. It upsets me to the point where I want to ride over and just shift their gears for them. You know, I mean, I am that skilled of a rider to be able to do that, so maybe I would, but it's just awful. Like, I just can't understand it. I see it all the time, like way more than I should. And I'm a fairly experienced cyclist too, so please stop cross-training. Cross-training is into the canal.
Okay, so moving on to our last segment of the show called We Rate Your Bike for Free. The way it works is you email us pics and a little description of your bike at cyclingfashionweek@gmail.com. We analyze it, we very carefully review it, and we tell you what we thought about it on the program, which is what we're going to do right now. So this one comes to us from Dimitri from Canada. He says, "Hi guys, here is my bike. Please feel free to rip it apart or praise it." So Dimitri is aware that this could go in really any direction here. Please feel free to rip it apart or praise it. Let me know what you guys thought. Thank you very much, Dimitri. So I'll just describe the bike a little bit. He took very good pictures, so kudos to Dimitri for that. We'll post the pics on our Instagram at Cycling Fashion Week. So this looks, he didn't say which model of Cervelo it was, but it looks like a Cervelo R5 to me. A few details about this bike. It is glossy black. So this bike is very heavy on the black. It's black on black on black, but glossy black, I have to say. It's got a very aero seat post. So the seat post looks like it's just going to cut through the air and make it a very aerodynamic sound. It's got this sort of new integrated stem as well. Very long stem, I have to say, on that bike. He's got reasonably deep carbon wheels. I think they're probably a 45 or a 50 millimeter wheel with tan sidewall tires. So, you know, shout out to all the tan sidewall fans out there. Respect to you. And one thing I thought was very nice on that bike, very nice touch. He's got the Arundel carbon bottle cages there. So it's a brand that I really like personally. I think they make some of the nicest bottle cages around. So Dimitri has that on his bike. And judging from his front derailleur, it looks like he's running DI2 on that bike. I can't tell if it's Altegra or Jura Ace DI2, but he's got electronic shifting there. So very black bicycle from Dimitri, Cervelo R5, I believe. Guys, what did we think of Dimitri's bike?
I think it's a 9 out of 10. You know, similar to my G-Wagon, it sort of murdered out, but it didn't go with the mat, which is nice. Typically, I'm not someone who sort of likes race bikes, but if you're going to do it, he did it correctly. He's got a long stem that looks 130, could be 140. It's slammed. He's got deep dish wheels. He's got the cork power meter. He's got the aero seat post, you know, lots of drop from the saddle to the bars. He's kept the cables tight. He's kept it clean. He's got tan sidewalls. Honestly, you know, for the style of bike it is, if you're a racer and you know you're racing the local parking lot crit, this is what you should be striving for in your race bike.
I'm not a huge Cervelo guy in general, but what I really like about this Cervelo is that you can't tell that it's a Cervelo. If you look at the pictures that he sent us, and I was really kind of zooming on them, and I couldn't quite see the Cervelo logo on that bike. And really, honestly, kudos to Cervelo for, you know, just making it unknown to us that this is a Cervelo. Because if it said Cervelo very aggressively in white on it, I might have criticized that bike. But given that I can't tell, I think I'm reasonably happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, we mentioned in our first week that, you know, the key to that bike was to repaint it to get rid of the Cervelo logo, and essentially this bike has done that.
I was just going to say, I generally agree with both of you. I think if this were like 2015, 2016, I'd give this bike like a 9 or a 10 out of 10. But now I feel like it's starting to be maybe away from where the stylish bike trends are going. I feel like the best looking bikes in my mind are like steel or titanium and just more that classic round tube look. So this is just looking, I know it's a race bike, but it's still just looking a little too aero for my taste, but it still got a very clean aesthetic. He clearly has put a lot of care into it. And as Alex mentioned, the Arundel cages are like best in the game by far, not just for looks, but actually like you'll never lose a bottle again, which is good, not because of a performance reason, just so you don't look like an idiot dropping a bottle.
So Warren, I'm with you. I'm also more of a steel or titanium frame.
I'm with that as well, just so we're
clear, but I think,
in general.
But I think it's clear that when we start to review this bike, we're reviewing this bike within the mindset of very aero carbon frame bikes, where we're not sort of letting our own personal preference get into the game. Actually, we never do that on this show. We're very objective. I never do it. I rise above the fray and I dispassionately review the items that are sent to us. And that's the mindset that I have here. But look, I mean, I can't really fault this bike. I mean, let's be honest, the steel frame is not for everyone. I think that the vast majority of people, if presented with a carbon frame or a steel frame, I think they will go for the carbon frame. Now, they're wrong, but that is what the vast majority of people will do. So within that realm, I think this is a very nice bike.
I agree, but yeah, I do think it's worth noting that, yeah, as I said, I am not objective. I'm subjective, only care about what I believe. But I also happen to know for a fact that, you know, if somebody comes in and be like, well, aero looks, aero gains, blah, 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 I know for a fact that Dimitri was beaten riding this bike in a race by a guy on a Mariposa steel bike. So as we've said, we're going to get to it eventually. If being fast is and looking good, is that the ultimate? And I don't know. I mean, why ride a aero race bike, a carbon race bike, when you could just be faster and ride a steel bike?
Because Warren, it's not just about the aero race bike. You're right. Just sort of the general, but it's about the way he's put it together, right? Like that is a slam stem and that thing is long, right? He's got a drop. Like this is his back. His back is going to be killing him in a few years. You know, he has kept, you know, he put the tan sidewalls on. It's like, yes, you know what? There could be some steel bikes out there and I'm sure we'll see them as they sort of, you know, more stuff rolls in that might have the nice, you know, sort of round tubing we like and the classic thing and just have awful tires, you know, awful rims, you know, a stack above and below the stem, right? You know, all this kind of stuff, all these issues. So he's taking something. I think I'm just trying to give him respect for taking a bike that I don't usually like and doing all the things that I think are mandatory on a bike.
Yeah, it's the overall body of work here by Dimitri that I think warrants a very high rating. The frame itself is kind of, you know, sorry, Dimitri, but it's a bit run-of-the-mill carbon Cervelo frame. By the way, do we know if Dimitri works in the dental space at all, or is he?
I think he's in tech.
He's in tech. Okay, so that's a tech bro bike. Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense for a tech bro. Like tech bros like aero, tech bros like carbon. So I think it's very internally consistent in a way.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it for a race bike, it like at a aero carbon race bike, it looks really good. It's about as good as you can get for that kind of bike. So I will admit that.
So I'm going to say high. I'm going to say 9 out of 10.
8.5.
And big respect to Dimitri for going with glossy black as opposed to matte black. We talked about it at the beginning of that show. Matte black, I think, needs to be retired at this point, except on Tony's G-Wagon. But otherwise, glossy black will always be a superior option to matte black.
In the parlance of about 4 or 5 years ago, this is a weapon.
Okay, this is it for this week's show. Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. Again, you can follow us on Instagram at Cycling Fashion Week. You can subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please write to us, cyclingfashionweek@gmail.com, and we'll be here next week with another episode of Cycling Fashion Week. Take care.